2 weeks ago, Thursday evening, I experienced one of those events, which I think probably most Christians experience at occasional times in their lives. And it was this. Some particular words of the New Testament spoke to me in a special way and in a very unusual way. And I think that probably most of God's people have those experiences at times. Sometimes when some words of the New Testament, which you are thinking about or reading or considering or reflecting upon, for some inexplicable reason, speak to you. I was sitting quietly in a meeting, just thinking about and reflecting upon some words, some particular words of the New Testament, when, in a very remarkable way, those words said something to me. And they brought about a change in some of my feelings, in some of my attitudes. This evening, I'd like our church to think about those words for just a moment. They are found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read the opening words of the passage. And just a moment, read some other words in the passage. And working together with him. The King James translation, you know, has it, and being workers together with God. There were two things that hit me that evening. And the first of those should have been very obvious, not a new thought, but for some reason it really struck me. The fact that God is working in the world. He is at work in human society. He is at work in our country. He is at work in human life. God is doing a plan. The Almighty God does have a program. He is accomplishing something. All that we see in the world, human life, in human history, in human events, in all of those things, the Almighty God is at work. You notice the end of that opening verse, for example, these words, receiving the grace of God, or not receiving the grace of God in vain. Or if you remember the words that Paul had spoken, written in the previous chapter, looking back for just a moment at verse 19 in chapter 5, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. We really have to be reminded, don't we, at times, that in all of this life, in all of the events of the world, in all of the history, in all of the national crises and all of the international events and all of the family affairs and all that's going on, that God is working a plan. The second thing that struck me 2 weeks ago that night and really did something to me was this truth that Paul, in his work and in his labors and in his life, was actually participating in what God was doing. That he was actually doing the work that God is about. Now that's startling, because of all the apostles in the New Testament, probably more than any, at least as much as any, Paul really talked about the sovereignty of God. Most of us here this evening know that Paul was very conscious that God is sovereign in this world. That what he desires and what he has purposed, he does. And that behind it all, everything of worth is God doing it. And I suppose that more than any of the writers of the New Testament, Paul was always conscious of the sovereignty of God. In fact, in the earlier chapter, once more, looking back in that previous chapter, at the 18th verse, he had written these words, "Now all these things are from God." And he had been talking about the work of salvation and the work of redemption and the work of regeneration and the work of reconciliation. And in the midst of writing about this marvelous work of reconciliation, in that 18th verse, Paul had just declared, "All these things are from God. It is God who does it." The 17th verse, prior to that, he had said, "If any person is in Christ, he is a new creature." And then he explained it. The old things passed away. And if you remember our study in Corinthians, you'll remember he's talking about the new way of looking at everything. The old way of looking at everything has passed away. We no longer look at Christ or at people according to the world's way of looking at them. The old things have passed away. He had gone on to say, "Behold, new things have come," referring to the new way that people who have faith in the Lord see the world. The new way we who trust the Lord view life. The new way we perceive the world. And then he had said, "All this is from God. It is God who does it. He is the sovereign. Everything I have said, God is the one who does it." Paul was very much conscious of the truth that God is the sovereign God, and that everything of worth is the work of God. And that's why it struck me when I came to the 6th chapter that evening and I had just been reflecting upon it. Having said that, he now says, "and working together with him." He knew that what he was doing in his work, in his life, in his struggles, in his ministry, was doing the work the sovereign God was about. We here have the divine sovereignty and divine action that is associated with human participation. And it is connected with human activity. Human activity is God's means for carrying out his plan. We must not ever divorce divine activity and divine sovereignty from human participation. It is God who is doing it all, but working with him. What Paul was doing the sovereign plan of God. Go back just a moment with me and look at the preceding verses. Let me read them quickly with you. "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed that word of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And working together with Him. It's a marvelous truth. There is an important balance that we need to keep that's a scriptural balance. It is the balance that declares without any qualification. It is the balance that recognizes without a single shadow of compromise that our God is the sovereign God who will do all He pleases and who will accomplish all that He purposes and who is the one who brings about everything. And on the other hand, the truth of the Scripture that in the great plan of God, we are working with Him. Sometimes we think, well, if it is God's desire, a certain thing, He will do it. If such and such a goal, if such and such a purpose, if such and such a plan is God's desire, He will do it. And of course He will. Or we think, if I have to push, if I have to strain, if I have to press, that must be the work of the flesh. And then we are brought back to the truth that the sovereign God links His plan and links His activity with our frail human struggle and our weak, trusting human efforts. We are working with Him. And that really was what I needed. Because there are times when each of us, I'm sure, begins to wonder whether or not what we're doing really is significant. Is it worth the investment of energy, worth the investment of life, worth the investment of ourselves? But if we believe what the New Testament tells us, we are working His work. Our commitment, our dedication, our striving are important. And what we are doing in life, what I am doing as a pastor, what you are doing perhaps as a business person or a housewife, as a teacher, as a witness, what you're doing is not play. It's not make-believe. It's not games. It is the work of God. And we have to remember that, that what this church is doing is not make-believe. What this congregation is doing is not games. What this church is doing is not play. What this church is doing is working with God. That's the reason that in the verses that follow, Paul qualified the phrase with some interesting words. In verse 3, now I want to come back in a moment to the main clause, the parts of his words that we're looking at now are just the conditional, or rather the secondary phrases. Working together with Him. Verse 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry be not discredited. It was because Paul believed that what he was doing was working the work of God, that he in everything sought to commend himself as the servant in order that the ministry would not be discredited. And in the next verse he said, in everything commending ourselves as servants of God. And there follow in the words next the little preposition in, that occurs 18 times. It is a catalog of Paul's life. Endurance, afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, hunger, purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God. All of those things are descriptions of Paul's life and work and struggle and labor. In all those things, commending ourselves because we are working with God. We are working with God. Therefore, giving no cause for offense, but in everything commending ourselves as the servants of God. And at verse 7, there follow three times the little preposition, by. By the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor. Because there were times that he experienced both of those, dishonor as well as honor. By evil report as well as good report. And next there follow the little preposition as deceivers yet true, accused of being a deceiver, though true, a true person. As unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death. Seven times he uses this little phrase, as sorrowful yet rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. In all of that, because he is working together with God. The most important reality that I or you or this church can understand is the reality that our lives, our efforts, our struggles, our challenges, our goals, our sacrifices, our labors, our struggles, our griefs, our support, all of that is working the sovereign God's work. In everything, therefore, commending ourselves, in nothing discrediting ourselves. And therefore, having said all of that, Paul was saying at verse 1, urge you, we, as working together with him, giving no cause for offense, in everything commending ourselves, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. My friends, people who are theologically thoughtful will recognize that is one of the most astounding phrases you can imagine, because it declares that in a remarkable way, the way the grace of God is received is affected by the way we participate. That is an enigma, because the grace of God, by definition, is the sovereign work of God. And yet Paul said, as a worker with God, in nothing discrediting myself, in everything commending myself, I urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. In some remarkable way, the effect of the way people respond to the grace of God in God's work is tied to our weak participation. It never frustrates his grace. It never prevents his grace. It never distorts his grace. But in the great sovereignty of God, he links the reception of his grace in the lives of people with the way we work with Him. Now, I want to mention just briefly this evening, because in the next two or three weeks I'm going to come back and elaborate upon this, that God has called our church, according to the Scriptures, God has purposed His church to do certain things. It is God's plan that Metropolitan Church, according to the Scripture, and that every church, according to the Scripture, would be at work doing certain specific things. The first of those, and one I want to return to, is the work of teaching the Word of God. That is the basic thing we are called to do as a church. Anybody who knows the New Testament cannot challenge that the New Testament makes it explicit that He has called His church, first of all, and primarily of all, to be teaching people His Word. I want the church to become discriminating. What the New Testament says about that is that teaching people the Word of God, in the sense of taking the Scriptures and making those Scriptures understood so that people know God's Word. There is a form of teaching and preaching that sometimes people say, well, that was biblical. That is, everything the person said was biblical, but it is not what the Scriptures call expository teaching. Expository teaching, which God has called the church to do, is the kind of teaching where the teacher does not simply say things that are biblically true, but rather in which the teacher or the preacher takes the people he is teaching to the Scripture and causes them to know, to read, to understand, and to know the Scriptures. And when we do that, we are working together with God. In the messages that will be coming up in our succeeding Sunday evenings, I'm going to take about two nights and review for our church what God has called us to be doing. Let us have a moment of prayer.